Allow me to now introduce our second speaker. Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani was born in Washington, D.C. At around the age of 14, his family converted to Shia Islam, and after graduating from high school, he moved to upstate New York for a while, where he studied at a small hawza Admiya. At the age of 21, he traveled to Iran, and shortly thereafter began his Islamic education in the Islamic Seminary of Qom, and has been studying there for over 18 years. He frequently travels to the States, as well as other parts of the world, to spread the message of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Sheikh Osama currently resides in Qom with his family and specializes in Islamic law and principles of Islamic jurisprudence, along with family ethics in Islam. With salat salawat, please welcome Sheikh Osama Abdul Ghani to the podium.
المعصومين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين روحي وأرواح الأمين لك الفداء رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Brothers and sisters, I welcome you all to your own program, and I'm really honored that Allah gave the tawfiq for me to be part of this commemoration of one of the greatest of the individuals of Islamic history, without doubt. There are some times when an individual does so much for Islam, gets close to Allah in such a way that, are we good? That the person changes the direction of the religion. A non-fallible human being can sometimes do so much for the cause, be in the right place, at the right time, do the right things, that this person is one of the people who actually changes the course of the religion. I want to give you an example from the ahadith of the Ahlul Bayt about such individuals, and then move to our discussion, inshallah, about Imam Khomeini, and then our spiritual identity, which is the topic that I'm supposed to address. This hadith is actually from Imam al-Sadiq, salamu alayhi, and what he does, Imam al-Sadiq, he's referring to four of the narrators of hadith, four of his companions, wonderful individuals, and this is what he says about some non-fallible human beings. Non-fallible. He says, لَوْلَا هَاُولَا. If it wasn't for these four individuals, they're mentioned in the hadith by name. If it wasn't for these four individuals, in non-fallible, right? Not ma'asumeen. If it wasn't for these individuals, he says, إن قطعت آثار النبوة واندرست. If it wasn't for these individuals, the effects, the legacy, the treasury of the آثار and effects of نبوة, prophethood, would cease, would be cut off, would dissipate, would become old. It's a heavy statement that certain non-fallible human beings reach that stage that the religion is riding on these individuals. Brothers and sisters, without a doubt, as our first speaker said, as other of our senior ulama have said, this individual whose death anniversary we are commemorating is one of these people. We had the privilege to be born after this time where this has happened. I spoke to some of the brothers a little older than myself. I'm almost 41 now. Some of those are a little older than myself. They were explaining what it was like to be a Muslim before the time of Imam Khomeini. They said that growing up, right, with others, because these are practicing individuals, they said they used to say Islam is a religion of losers. A little before us, if a Muslim really wanted to be proud about Islam, say something good about Islam, he would try and say that Islam is saying what the West is saying. They've got democracy. Islam, we're so happy, proud. Just
Can I prove the Quran through a scientific miracle? Alhamdulillah, science confirms the Quran. Whereas nowadays, being a Muslim now in the time after Imam al-Khomeini, and now as we march towards the final victory, because we don't believe that Islam will always be dominated, we're moving towards a world where Islamic values are going to be the values everybody accepts. And it's our responsibility, and we are going to make that happen, bi-idhnillah. Now, we challenge the West and anybody else. We say we have our own way of Islamic government, our own way of economics, our own way of banking and finance and laws and the ways. Instead of us begging or wishing secretly to be like them, we say, I wish you could be me. I want to save everybody else. This is the barakah and blessing of what happened with Imam al-Khomeini. Blessing, and as our previous speaker stated, Imam al-Asi, it didn't come about easily. But this is a small event. No, there was a lot of suffering that took place, a lot of effort that was made. And then Allah blessed that nation in the beginning and the rest of the Muslims who heard this message, and they moved. Because many people heard the message. They identified with this. I'm not going to mention the words of senior ulama, right? Maraja, Ayatollah Dulfaigani, our various Ayatollahs, what they said about Imam Khomeini. One quote from Shahid Baqir al-Sadr when he was talking about Imam Khomeini. He said, "Rubu, rubu fi al-Imam al-Khomeini kama dhaba huwa fi al-Islam." Very heavy statement. He said, melt, dissolve yourselves, dissipate in Imam Khomeini as he has dissipated in Islam. That way of following him, that way of being part, he recognized this mission, this message. So, him being one of those individuals who were blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to even be alive to understand and then have accepted this message and be moving forward, that is a great thing. Very briefly, because we don't have much time, I want to talk a little bit about the spiritual identity that we have as Muslims following the teachings of Imam al-Khomeini. The same Islam that we got from the Prophet of Allah. That same Islam that we got from the Prophet of Allah. When it comes to a spiritual identity, even now, because everybody's looking for spirituality, many people have seen that the material world doesn't give them all that they need, and they look for various forms of spirituality. There are also certain Muslims who come up with types of spirituality. Many times the spirituality that doesn't bother the enemies of Islam. I'm in my little corner, I do my thing, my dhikr, tasbih. But that's not the spiritual identity that we get from Imam al-Khomeini. I want to mention just a few of the characteristics of this kind of, again, when, let's define spirituality, our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our relationship with Allah's awliya. Our refinement of our soul. Because we don't believe that Islam is simply a religion that only has outward effects or it's only a social political effect. That's not all that Islam is. There are maqamat that the soul wants to reach to and should reach to. That's what the Holy Prophet was there for, to bring us to makarim al-akhlaq, to refine that soul. But how do we do it in such a way so that we're not in line with the teachings of the enemy? Rather, it's the spiritual identity that we've gotten from Imam al-Khomeini. I want to give you a few examples of Imam al-Khomeini. One of them, and this thing, is the focus on ikhlas. Doing whatever you do for the sake of God. And as we know, Islam is not a religion which is just us doing our personal affairs, just me and my salah. I just want to worry about ikhlas when it comes to my prayer. No, in my social and political activities also, ikhlas is supposed to be there. One story from the life of Imam al-Khomeini, that they said that a man is explaining the story, apparently one of the ulama, says that I came to Imam al-Khomeini and I said that there's a brother and I'd like you to visit that brother. My point, he said, look, I'm not feeling that well. I don't want to go right now. He said, well, no, this guy, he's very much involved in the struggle. You don't know how much this guy loves you and respects you. Just when he said that, Imam Khomeini stopped. He said, look, I have a fever. I'm not feeling well. But it's not such that I couldn't leave the house under any circumstances. He says, but now that you started talking about how much he respects me and cares for me, I can't make the niyyah of qurba. I can't say, qurbatin ala Allah, I go to visit him. So for that reason, no. For that reason, no. Ikhlas. A verse that Imam Khomeini would remind the mu'mineen, mu'minat about. قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَعِذُكُمْ بِوَاحِدَةٍ Only advise you, verse of the Quran, I only advise you for one thing, that you rise up for the sake of God. Everything should be for the sake of Allah. One of the things that we learn again from Imam al-Khomeini and that proper Islamic identity and spiritual identity is the idea of being very much attached and fond of Ahlul Bayt. We have the verses of Quran that Allah doesn't ask anything from us except mawadda. All of us, we're supposed to have that attachment. And Imam Khomeini had that attachment. To the extent they said when he was in Najaf, every day, 3 hours after Maghrib, he would make the ziyarah of Amirul Mu'mineen. So love of Ahlul Bayt, fiercely loyal to Ahlul Bayt. At the same time, Imam al-Khomeini, the spirituality of Imam al-Khomeini, was one where he championed Islamic unity. Love of Ahlul Bayt, following Ahlul Bayt, attachment to Ahlul Bayt, but promoting and championing rightfully Islamic unity. There are some now, brothers and sisters, in different camps, apparently Shia, apparently Sunni, and they are trying their best to serve the goals, the illegal and unlawful goals of the enemy and make Muslims fight one another. So Imam Khomeini was somebody, love of Ahlul Bayt, attraction, right? No one more Shi'i than Imam Khomeini, and at the same time, unity. Another one of those things. Another one which was very important in the spirituality of Imam Khomeini was this, that Imam Khomeini, the spirituality he introduced was based on a firm intellectual premise. It wasn't a spirituality which was superstition or abandoning one's practical responsibility. No, not at all. To the extent, let me give you an example. And I'm not going to mention the name of this battlefield commander. One of the Mu'mineen battlefield commander. At the time when people accepted what Imam Khomeini said without any hesitation. Battlefield commander. He said that we had come to a stage and we realized we don't know what we should do about this particular mission. How should we go forward? He said, at this time when everybody followed Imam Khomeini without any sort of question, he said that let's ask Imam Khomeini to make an istikhara. And people follow Imam Khomeini without any sort of doubts, without any sort of questions. They told this to Imam Khomeini. The Islam, the spirituality of Imam, absolutely not. Istikhara on the battlefield? You think, you plan, you see what makes sense, what's your responsibility? Firm intellectual premise. Now, we're going to go over it. Instead of thinking, we'll just ask God. And I don't mean to make fun of istikhara. No, istikhara is for there. When we can't make a decision, in our personal lives, I can't make a decision one way or the other. Right? Yes or no? But the idea of basing my life around that, we'll make decisions in the... No, not the spirituality of Imam Khomeini. Another one which is very beautiful about Imam Khomeini was that idea which is that we're supposed to obviously do our wajibat. Right? We want to make any step of getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The thing which is most important for us is wajibat. To the extent that Amirul Mu'mineen tells us, he says, La qurbata bin nawafil idha adharrat bil fara'id. There is no proximity that one can achieve by doing mustahab acts, recommended acts, good acts, at the price of harming the fara'id and the wajibat. So a comprehensive view of Islam, making sure that I'm doing my responsibility. But does that mean that there's no focus on mustahabat altogether? Or that there are some of the mustahabat that are basic, if you can use this terminology, spiritual wajibat. Spiritual wajibat. Things that mu'mineen, mu'minat need to be doing if they want to be getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of those being the salatul layl. Islamic spirituality, one of the pillars of Islamic spirituality, is that Salatul Layl.
One of the brothers was staying at the house of Imam Khomeini. This is the time when his son Mustafa was still alive. He says that in the middle of the night, I'm saying, he says that at that time Mustafa was actually staying in the house of Imam Khomeini. He says, that time, you're crying in the middle of the night. Crying like loud. Maybe something's wrong. So I wake up Haj Mustafa, it's called Haj Mustafa. I wake up Haj Mustafa and I say, there's something wrong in Ish. He said, woke up, he listened for a little bit. He's like, no, that's all. He's making Salatul Layl. I always have this. Goes back and looks. So that kind of connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hours before. But again, with Imam Khomeini, his spirituality was not something that would lead him to encroach on the rights of his family. I want to make Salatul Layl. So for instance, everybody wakes up, they said, no, Imam Khomeini would have like a small flashlight, slowly following his way out, like go over and make his salat. But then yes, once he is him and God, the tears, it's natural that they would flow. Actually another one that I wanted to mention, which I think is very important for us to keep in mind, is the idea of Islamic identity that we have, Islamic spirituality that we have. It's a comprehensive picture, and one part of it is our relationship with our families, actually. Making sure that our relationship with our families is actually excellent. There's a story that's related about one of the companions of the Holy Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The way the story works is this guy was named Sa'ad. So Sa'ad was somebody who, when he died, the Holy Prophet is following his janazah. They have his body on a board, and the Prophet is following. They said what the Prophet was doing was he's walking without shoes, first on one side, the Prophet's holding. Then he comes to the second side, he's holding. When he came to bury him, the Prophet personally getting involved in the burial rituals of this individual. And Sa'ad's mother, Sa'ad, was watching this. When she saw this, this kind of escort, the Holy Prophet escorting the grave and following on both sides, and this thing, then she said that, you know, paradise be wholesome and wonderful for you, Sa'ad. The Prophet stopped and said, wait, don't say that definitely about God, don't you say? He said, if you knew the squeeze that Sa'ad had gotten in the grave, Islamic spirituality, Islamic identity, from home. So she said, the other people, they said, after everybody left, companions came over and they were like, we saw that you were following Sa'ad, one side to the other. You're going into the grave yourself. He said, I was following Angel Jibra'il. He was going there. He's going from one side. He's going from you. He said, so then what are you talking about this squeeze for? They said, oh, Sa'ad, when it came to his family, his akhlaq was not nice. Then you look at the life of Imam Khomeini, and sometimes I was giving a class to some of the brothers and sisters, and I was explaining that some of the examples of the life of Imam Khomeini, for us brothers, I was like, you know, I'm going to say this about Imam Khomeini, but please, sisters, don't say that, how come our husbands aren't like Imam Khomeini, because we can't be like Imam Khomeini, okay? Please, sisters, don't ruin your life by saying, you know, my husband, okay. I said, let me just give you the example. Let me give you an example. Again, our sisters know their responsibility. Imam Khomeini is spiritual. His wife is telling this story. She says that Imam Khomeini was such that he wouldn't, because it's not wajib for women to work inside the house. It's their responsibility. It's good. That's what Hazrat Fatima did. Inshallah, our sisters will do that. Rewards, right? So I don't want to ruin any marriages, anybody. Anyhow, so what happens is, but it's not wajib. Imam Khomeini's spirituality. You have that hadith from Middle Mu'mineen that women are flowers? So Imam Khomeini would be like this. She says that if he saw me vacuuming, he'd be like, don't vacuum. He's going to try and do it. She said, I would try and go out just to wash the headpiece of the kids. Imam Khomeini, oh, you're washing? No. She said, what do I do? I have to wait till Imam Khomeini leaves the house. Then I do chores. So Imam Khomeini, the crying and things, but this kind of relationship with his family at the same time, the Islam of the Holy Prophet. The other one that I really like, and I think we'll end with this one, last 2 points, is this. The spirituality of Imam Khomeini, that Islamic identity we get in this regard,
was not one that could sit with the oppressor and bow down and be weak and apologize. They said once, not this last shot. May Allah give him what he deserves. His dad. And he was a real brute. Real brute. He came inside Masjid.
Here he is. Ulama'a.
This brute. And they said, everybody, out of fear, they get up to show respect. And it's difficult, I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, it's not easy. Some authority comes in, everybody gets up, and it's natural. Oh, respect, everybody. Everybody gets up, they see this one Sayyid sitting down in the corner and he's reading Quran. So the Shah walks over to the Sayyid. And he's reading Quran. He said, you know who I am? I know who you are. He said, you don't get up? He said, this book I'm reading, Quran, Spirituality of Imam Khomeini. This book says not to respect you, not to get up. He said, my name is in the Quran. Says the Quran says, don't respect the zalimeen. The spirituality of Imam Khomeini. That kind of spirituality. That kind of irfan. That connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the last one, which was the gift of Imam Khomeini to us, is he left behind this legacy of divine leadership. It's not that the ummah now is leaderless. That we have no one. How can we continue this path of Imam al-Khomeini until we get to the final victory? Brother, from among the students, you find an individual who, again, the Ummah is lucky to have. We don't know what a champion we have. What a champion we have. So he's left behind the system of Wilayatul Faqih, and that is the system that will take us to that victory. We ask that Allah have mercy on his soul, and that he make us people who can follow this path of Imam al-Khomeini up until the return of our Imam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.